RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. King Salman's visit to build new round of Indonesian-Saudi relationship. Soekarno-Hatta Airport turns into a smart airport. Now the news in detail. The Speaker of Indonesian House of Representatives DPR, Setia Novanto, said that the visit of Saudi King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud to Indonesia has built a new round of relationship between Indonesia and Saudi Arabia. He said in his speech during a meeting with King in Nusantara Building in Complex of DPR in Jakarta on Tuesday that Indonesian people, especially Muslim population, are grateful to the King for his sincerity and generosity to visit Indonesia. King Salman has received a request from the Indonesian government to provide Hajj quota of 211,000 pilgrims and additional quota of 10,000. He noted that the additional quota is essential for Indonesia, a country with the largest Muslim population in the world. The King of Saudi Arabia, Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud, has given an Al-Quran calligraphy embroidered with gold thread on a piece of thick black cloth to the Istiqlal Mosque. Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs Lutman Hakim Saifuddin said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the King specifically presented the gift to the Istiqlal Mosque. King Salman, along with Indonesian President Joko Widodo, conducted prayer at the Istiqlal Mosque, then signed a guest book and handed over the 2x1 meter calligraphy gift. Minister Rahman added that the prize is a symbol of a great concern of Saudi Arabian government and people to Indonesia. Indonesian state-owned PT Angkasa Pura II, the operator of Soekarno-Hatta International Airport, is committed to adapting smart airport principles in a bid to improve operational efficiency. PT Angkasa Pura II President Director Muhammad Awaluddin in a press release on Tuesday explained that smart airport principles are implemented through aviation facility digitalization such as the installation of visual docking guidance system, VGDS, at Terminal 3 apron of Soekarno-Hatta Airport. Awaluddin also said that PGDS can help shorten the time needed by the airplanes to land close to the terminal, making it more efficient for airlines, and overall, it is expected to have an impact on on-time performance. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry stated that it is ready to help Sri Rabita to carry out a medical examination. Indonesian Foreign Minister spokesman Arman Atanasir said that the ministry will help and provide support if Sri Rabita's family wants to carry out another medical checkup. Armanata also said on Tuesday that let the family have a discussion. Armanata added that the Indonesian Migrant Worker Placement and Protection National Agency, BNPT2TKI, will also take part in providing medical examination for Sri Rabita. Sri Rabita is an Indonesian migrant worker who claimed to have one of her kidneys surgically removed without her consent while she was working in Doha, Qatar. However, a follow-up examination at the West Nusa Tenggara Regional Hospital revealed that Sri Rabita had never had his kidneys removed. Urologist Dr. Suarjendo said that based on CT scan examination, both of Sri's kidneys are normal. Meanwhile, Armanata explained that currently the Foreign Affairs Ministry is still waiting for the result of the examination from the hospital in Doha to find out what kind of medical treatment had been carried out to Sri Rabita. Indonesia has promoted the top 10 tourist destination in the 39th Belgrade International Fair of Tourism Sajam Turisma, Belgrade, Serbia. A statement from Indonesian Embassy in Belgrade, Serbia, received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday, mentioned that the exhibition was opened by Serbian Prime Minister Aleksandar Vučić. The Indonesian Pavilion under a theme of Nature and Adventure Wonderful Indonesia showcased natural and adventurous travels in various tourist destinations across Indonesia. The participation of Indonesia at the prestigious event is expected to introduce Indonesian tourist sites to Serbian people and those from Southeast Europe region. The largest tourist exhibition in Southeast Europe region was participated in by 1,150 participants from 56 countries. In addition to showing travel destinations, the Indonesian Pavilion also served Indonesian specialty coffee, featured traditional dances and interactive quizzes for visitors. King of Saudi Arabia Kingdom Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud and his entourage visited the House of Representatives DPR officially in Jakarta on Tuesday. King Salman was welcomed by the Speaker of DPR, Setia Novanto, and other members of DPR. Speaker Setia Novanto, in his speech at the plenary room at DPR, said that Muslims in the world have a lot of population, so if they are united, there will be world peaceful stabilization.
Jika Indonesia dan Arab Saudi dan negara Muslim.
If Indonesia and Arab Saudi, as well as other Muslim countries, adhering moderate and peaceful region can be united, this will bring about big impact on creating the world peace.
Moreover, Speaker Setia Novanto also said that at least the peace can be materialized if countries with Islam resident Muslim countries are united. He said by togetherness among the countries, it will make the people prosperous. The last item at the session of the UN Human Rights Council held in Geneva, Swiss on Wednesday, Pacific State represented by Vanuatu questioned about various human rights violations in Papua. In response to that question, Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman Armanatan Asir stressed things which were submitted by Vanuatu in the UN Human Rights Council do not reflect the situation in Papua today. In a press briefing held in Jakarta on Tuesday, Armanata explained that during the leadership of President Joko Widodo, condition in Papua is already developed with various infrastructure development and improvement of living standard of the people of Papua. He rejected the existence of a human rights violation in Papua because democratic process and transparency of the media in Indonesia do not allow the occurrence of violence.
Bagi negara seperti Indonesia, di mana sistem demokrasinya berjalan,
for a country like Indonesia on which the democracy is running, the responsibility of the government is very high and the media is open. The things which are accused of great violation of human rights were very hard to go unnoticed. It is precisely reversed, as many countries are accusing us not to have that system.
Kepada orang yang melakukannya. Nah, ini justru terbalik karena banyak negara-negara yang menuduh kita itu tidak memiliki mekanisme atau sistem seperti itu.
Armanata asked further question, what is the purpose of these countries raise the issue? He questioned whether these countries really have a concern or their other purposes, such as support of separatist movements. If indeed these seven countries support separatist movements in Papua, he said it is not in accordance with the relevant UN principle of respect for the territorial integrity of the UN member states. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled The Visit of King Salman to Indonesia Without Highlighting Geopolitical Issues, Particularly the Syrian Conflict. Listener, the state visit of Saudi Arabian King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud to Indonesia still lasts in higher education. In the field of investment, the Saudi government will invest more than 300 trillion rupiah. Based on the talks and agreements, it can be noted that the two leaders focus on bilateral issues, namely the relationship and the cooperation between Indonesia and Saudi Arabia. However, they did not highlight geopolitical issues, especially regarding the conflict in Syria. As we know that the Syrian conflict has involved major countries, the United States, Russia, Iran, and China. In recent developments, Russia and China had vetoed a UN resolution to impose sanctions on Syria for the alleged use of chemical weapons. Thus, Russia has vetoed seven times the resolution of UN Security Council on sanctions against Syria, while China six times.
The resolution of the UN Security Council will impose sanctions on the allegations against Syrian government led by President Bashar al-Assad. Syria was allegedly carried out a chemical attack against civilians. Although the investigation by the United Nations and the international inspectors found evidence of use of chemical weapons, the Syrian government denies the allegation. The report said that the helicopters of Syrian Air Force dropped chlorine gas in the rebel-held area twice on April 2014 and on March 2015. The Convention on Chemical Weapons 1997 has banned the use of chlorine as a weapon. For Saudi Arabia, China's stance is certainly contrary to its measures. The attacks carried out by Saudi Arabian government against the government of Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad are certainly not in line with the policy of Beijing that is shunned through a veto on the UN Security Council resolution that is beneficial for President Bashar al-Assad. Thus, the Syrian issue is a sensitive one for the government of Saudi Arabia and Indonesia as well. That's why it can be understood that the issue of Syria was not a main topic between President Joko Widodo and King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud. Yet we still do not know whether the King Salman would raise the issue of Syria with the government of Beijing, at least explaining the King's stance on the Syrian conflict. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the past and tells their stories. We begin with an event which occurred on March 3, 1924, when Khilafah, an administrative system based on Islamic ideology and led by Caliphate leadership system, ended. Turkey territory more than 6 centuries, starting from 1299 until 1923, was controlled by Bani Usman, or well-known Usmania or Ottoman Sultanate. The Sultanate was led by 36 sultans. For 6 centuries, Turkey became interaction center between West and East. In the 16th and 17th century, Usmania Sultanate became one of the main powers of the world with a strong navy. On the peak of its power, Usmania Sultanate was divided into 29 provinces. The power of Usmania Sultanate was slowly eroded in the 19th century until finally collapsed in the 20th century. After World War I ended, Usmania government received the defeat in the war and deteriorated in economic field. Usmani or Ottoman Sultanate finally fell and became state of the Republic led by Kemal Pasha Atatürk. Republic of Turkey was proclaimed on October 29, 1923. On March 3, 1924, President Kemal Pasha dismissed Khilafah leadership system in Turkey. The next event was in 1969 when Apollo 9 was launched. Apollo 9 was the third manned mission in the United States Apollo space program and the first flight of the command or service module CSM with the lunar model LM. Its three-person crews, consisting of Commander James McDavid, Command Model Pilot David Scott, and Lunar Model Pilot Rusty Shekhar, spent 10 days in low Earth orbit testing several aspects critical to landing on the Moon, including the LM engines, backpack life support systems, navigation systems, and docking maneuvers. The mission was the second manned launch of a Saturn V rocket. After launching on March 3, 1969, the crewmen performed the first manned flight of a LM, the first docking and extraction of a LM, two spacewalks, or EVA, and the second docking of two manned spacecraft, 2 months after the Soviets performed a spacewalk crew transfer between Soyuz 4 and Soyuz 5. The mission proved the LM worthy of manned spaceflight. Further tests on the Apollo 10 mission would prepare the LM for its ultimate goal, landing on the Moon. They returned to Earth on March 13, 1969. The next event was in 1973 when scrape of CITES, or Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, was threatened to be adopted by the UN. On the 16th CITES 2013 conference in Bangkok, Thailand, the participants of the conference suggested to the UN in order the 3rd of March to be decided and commemorated as the World Wildlife Day. On 20th of December 2013, General Session of the UN finally decided the 3rd of March as special day to appreciate the world biological diversity, especially wild animals and plants. Then, for the first time, on March the 3rd, 2014, was celebrated as World Wildlife Day. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Focus. Today we take you to the title, Indonesia, Saudi Arabia sign 11 agreements. Listener, bilateral relations of Indonesia and Saudi Arabia entered a new stage, which is marked with the visit of Saudi King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud in Indonesia from March 1 to 9, 2017, after the last visit of Saudi Arabian King 47 years ago. In a bilateral meeting of King Salman and President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace in Bogor Wednesday, March 1, 2017, the two governments signed 11 Memorandum of Understanding. The signing of the Memorandum of Understanding was implemented by a number of ministers and directly witnessed by President Joko Widodo and King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud. The MOU covering the field of the increasing leaders of joint commission meeting, the contribution of financing development project, education and culture, development of small and medium enterprises, health, aeronautical authority, science department and higher education, Islamic religious division, division of marine and fisheries, trade or interstate crime, and handling of transnational crime. President Joko Widodo in his speech stated that the state visit of the King of Saudi Arabia Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud will be the starting point for the improvement of relations between Indonesia and Saudi Arabia, which are mutually beneficial. According to President Joko Widodo, the royal visit of King Salman to Indonesia is a very historical visit, and for Indonesia, Saudi Arabia is one of the most important partners in the Middle East. The partnership is manifested in terms of relations between peoples as well as economic and political ties. Meanwhile, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in a news conference said that President Joko Widodo has instructed ministers who signed a Memorandum of Understanding with Saudi Arabia to immediately follow any such agreements. The two leaders also agreed to follow the agreements by sending their ministers. Meanwhile, Vice Speaker of the House of Representatives, Taufik Kurniawan, hoped the visit of King Salman to Indonesia will boost Indonesia's economy and fostering the emotional relationship that has been built for a long time. That was the focus.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. The Speaker of Indonesian House of Representatives DPR Setia Novanto said that the Bishop Saudi Kim Salman Abdul Aziz Al Saud to Indonesia has built a new round relationship between Indonesia and Saudi Arabia. The King of Saudi Arabia, Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud, has given an Al Quran calligraphy embroidered with gold thread on a piece of thick black cloth to the Istiqlal Mosque. Indonesian state-owned company PT Angkasa Pura II, the operator of Soekarno-Hatta International Airport, is committed to adopting a smart airport principle in a bid to improve the operational efficiency. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry stated that it is ready to help Sri Rabita to carry out medical examination. Indonesian Foreign Affairs spokesman Armanata Nasir said that the ministry will help and provide support if Sri Rabita's family wants to carry out another medical checkup. Indonesia has promoted the top 10 tourist destination in the 39th Belgrade International Fair of Tourism and Sajan Turisme in Belgrade, Serbia. King of Saudi Arabia Kingdom, Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud and his entourage visited the House of Representatives DPR officially in Jakarta on Tuesday. At the session of the UN Human Rights Council held in Geneva, Swiss on Wednesday, Pacific State represented by Vanuatu questioned about various human rights violations in Papua. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Balikpapan. Stay tuned. Listener, on February 28, the Balikpapan City Government inaugurated Wisata Teluk Seribu or Thousand Bay Tourism as a new tourism destination city of Balikpapan. The inauguration was marked by a ribbon-cutting ceremony at a small alley on Jalan Kesatuan Manggar Baru, the entrance to Warna-Warni Village. After the inauguration, there is usually held activities around the village and activities to down the river by boat. Teluk Seribu Tourism is a combination of two tourism services. Firstly, Warna-Warni Village, and secondly is the activity down to the mangrove forest along the river. Balikpapan government packed the two activities in order to attract tourists, both local, national, and foreign tourists. Warna-Warni Village consists of 5 RT or Neighborhood Association. In the past, the village was so dirty and densely populated. The buildings made of iron wood, packed in narrow alleys. The population consists of various ethnics, who are fishermen and farmers to cultivate rubber. The village now changed. since the local awareness of hygiene began to grow. The government and local residents then painted the wooden houses. At least 5,000 liters of paint with a variety of bright colors, predominantly red, yellow, and green, are used to paint the walls of houses, fences, as well as bridges, roads, and small pier. A total of 235 buildings in the 5 RT become the coloring target. The appearance of shapes also change. Everything look lively. Ulang. Everything look lively, full of bright colors. Visiting Warna-Warni village, you can take picture of yourself or selfie. One of corners for selfie is a 100-meter wall which full of three-dimensional images. In addition, you can also see a three-dimensional road. The three-dimensional road is a cement road with a three-dimensional style paints. One of the paints is a big hole paint in the ground with a piece of beam on it that can be used to cross it. There is also a wall painted as model and graffiti. Listener, after taking selfie, tourists can continue to traveling the river edge in Teluk Seribu. Along the way, you will be spoiled with mangrove trees and the houses with colorful paint walls. The trip took about 30 to 45 minutes. Driving around these mangrove trees, you have to use a boat. Those who want to rent a boat with a capacity of 15 people only pay 300,000 rupiah. The Teluk Seribu tourism object also have culinary tourism. You will be treated to a variety of seafood dishes such as fish, shrimp, and crabs. The culinary tourism is managed by people in a group of tourism in the RT and village level. Listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Teluk Seribu Tourism in Balikpapan. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Listener, layout skills belongs to not only modern people as today, but also our ancestor long time ago. The proof is Prahulo Cave in Yogyakarta. In today's edition of Miscellany, we are going to inform you Prahulo Cave. Gunung Kidul is regency in Yogyakarta that is popular with its arid and rocky land. Even though it is arid, the land in Yogyakarta keeps a lot of hidden paradise
such as Underwater River and Braholo Cave. Braholo Cave located in Karang Mojo District, Gunung Kidul Regency, has kept at least 10 ancient human skeletons in a prime condition. This fossil is predicted to be 10,000 years old. Besides fossil, many house tools were also found, such as bone made of rock and a piece of pot. This pot is dated back to the beginning of Neolithicum era. According to Kusno, who happens to be the owner and the caretaker of the cave, inside the cave there is an L-shaped hole. This hole is organized well, but the earthquake that struck Bantul in 2006 made this land collapse. From the hole, a number of fossils were found, such as pottery, seeds, rock process, bones, and seashell. One of the holes on the north side, big bones were found. Possibly, this hole was used as a kitchen. In the middle of the cave, researchers thought that it's the place where many activities had been done. In the southern part of the cave, it was a bedroom of the ancient human. This finding made researchers of the National Archaeology Agency, to be supported by Toyota Foundation Japan, shows a clear function of each room in the cave exactly like modern people's house today. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany, informing you about Braholo Cave, a home of the Gunung Kidul ancient human. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in the program Music Corner that introduces you to current and traditional ones. For today's edition, we will present a dang singer. Elia Kadam studied her career in Nine Join with Kelanaria Malay Orchestra. This music group is called as pioneer of dangdut music in Indonesia. To start today's edition, I'm Dee to play you one of Elia Kadam's popular song, Boneka India. Stay tuned. Listener Boneka dari India, the song that we just enjoyed has made Elia's name popular. The song that she wrote in 1950 era became one of the most popular Indonesian Malay songs. Elia Kadam combined Malay and Indian music in her creation songs. No wonder in her looks she often wears in Indian nuance. The element of Indian music is also very noticeable in her another creation song, Kau Pergi Tanpa Pesan. Listener, let's enjoy together Elia Kadam's song entitled Kau Pergi Tanpa Pesan.
Tiada matahari, kau pergi tanpa pesan, ku nanti tiada datang. Di mana kau kini, di mana kau kini, aku tiada. Suci kau katakan, di mana aku cari, di mana aku cari, aku tiada berdaya lagi. Aduh, du 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 du. Korban apa saja demi untuk yang ku cinta, siksa dan derita telah ku terima, tapi aku tak bahagia. Aduh, du 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 du.
Kadam, who came from Betawi, is well known not only in the country but also in neighboring countries such as Malaysia and Singapore. She has loyal fans on these countries. Elia has extended her career in acting as a manifestation of her desire to introduce more dangdut songs. In summer film that she starred, Elia got a chance to play with a famous movie star at that time, such as famous comedian Benjamin S. in the movie Buaya Gile. After successfully placing dangdut music as music that is equal with another Indonesian music, Elia faded away slowly from singing. Although she died at the age of 80 years in 2009, but until now her songs are still frequently sung by some other dangdut singers in Indonesia. Listener, we end today's program of Music Corner with Elia's song, Janji. Thank you for your attention. We'll see you another event of Music Corner. See you later.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Kau pergi tanpa pesan, ku nanti tiada datang. Di mana kau kini, di mana kau kini, aku tiada bertawa lagi. kau katakan, di mana aku cari, di mana aku cari, aku tiada berdaya lagi. Aduh, 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 aduh. Korban apa saja demi untuk yang ku cinta, siksa dan derita telah ku terima, tapi aku tak bahagia. Aduh, du, 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 du.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Indah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.